Good morning, everyone. It's great to be here. Let us pray. Come, Holy Spirit, fill the hearts of your faithful people and kindle in us the fire of your love through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Stay at home and save lives. That was the message when the coronavirus pandemic started. This message brings lots of memories. Some of them are good. Most of them are not great. And some of these memories are heartbreaking. So please, come and visit us or see us if you are still affected by these memories, and we love to pray with you. A deadly virus was coming. A silent killer which spread through the air, and just by one touch, it comes to your body. And most of our bodies didn't have any immunity or natural immunity. So potentially, it would have killed millions and millions of people. The consequence was huge, and the government has to do something to protect us. Well, you have heard recently there are a lot of news about handle or mishandle the governments regarding the pandemics during the previous prime minister. Nevertheless, the message was the same. Stay at home and save lives. Chris Mason, the BBC political editor, puts it, lost liberties, businesses, educations, and loved ones, a pandemic no one will forget. But was it the law that prevent us from going out and losing our freedom or the love of others? Was it the law that forced us to keep distance or the love of our neighbors? Was it the law that barred us from hugging or even visiting the loved ones or the love we had for that person? Was it the law that prevent our bodies from being defeated by the virus, or the love of many scientists who produced a vaccine in the shortest possible time? You see, the law might prevent us of any actions because of the fear of the consequences. But some people, including the previous and the current Prime Minister of Britain, broke the law. So it seems to me it was the love who led us to act upon the law. So many lives were saved. So I would like to suggest the law prevents, the love protects, so the life prevails. The law prevent, the love protect, so lives prevent. This is the argument Paul is trying to unpack for his audience in Church of Romans. Church in Romans, as what you were heard last week, it was a mix of the Jews and Gentiles, or non-Jews. So they had different understanding of the law and the love of God. And we said it at the beginning of service. In the Genesis chapter 1, God created all creation with all his love. And after finish, he saw the creation, including humanity. It was very good. The word it was used in Hebrew for good could be translated as beautiful, best, cheerful, delightful, favorable, and fine. God created the whole creation out of his love with the best possible condition. But Adam and Eve disobey God's one and only law: don't eat. And they allow virus sin enter to the life of the world. The virus that break darkness, that bring darkness and death in a perfect world. What God did, He protected humanity with his love and grace by wearing Adam and Eve with the garments of sin. It was not the law protect them, but the love of God, and therefore their lives prevailed. But humanity continued to rebel against God and damage this relationship again and again. We failed the love of God. Again, God chose Abraham not because of his goodness or because of his following the law. Paul argued in chapter 4, verse 13. But because he has faith in God. So he become right in sight of God. Or righteous, the Bible call it. Amplifier translator puts it, right living, right standing with God. Paul argues circumcision was not a sign of loving relationship or the following the law. It was a sign of relationship God started with Abraham. And by the time Moses came, took Israel to Promised Land, more than 600 laws were in place to prevent people from breaking their relationship with God. Paul reminds the Jews and Gentile in Church of the Romans, it wasn't the law protect their lives. It was the love of God and the grace of God. But the history of Israel and humanity shows that the human fail and again and again and again. And this relationship was broken many times. How did we have our freedom back after pandemic? A tiny little liquid, vaccine. That liquid help us to come out and sit down next to each other, hug each other, and friendship start. In John chapter 3, we read the story of the Pharisee called Nicodemus. He came in the darkness to see the light of the world, the incarnated God, Jesus Christ. He was a well-known teacher of the law and following the law for many years. But he felt something is missing. It seems there is no protection for him and his nation. What else he would have done to allow God rules on him and his nations? They call the kingdom of God. And God incarnated, read his mind. Very truly I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God unless they are born again. Born again? What is it? Surely they cannot enter a second time into their mother's womb to be born, Nicodemus answered with wonder. You know, still, there are many people who have controversial theories against coronavirus. It is wonder. How could a tiny vaccine, a tiny liquid, which is developed just for 1 year, protect us? There are still many conspiracy theory around it. And people still refuse to have vaccine. But evidence is in front of us. The love of many dedicated researchers, scientists, designers, chemists, doctors, and nurses, and others have shown in the tiny liquid so that today we can be free, or at least some of the freedom we have. Jesus said, very truly I tell you, no one can enter the kingdom of God unless they are born of water and spirit. Flesh gives birth to flesh, but the spirit gives birth to spirit. God gives us a part of himself, the Holy Spirit, to increase the defense of our body, our souls, against the virus sin. When the power of sin, anything take us away from God's love, That's called sin. Anything takes us away from God's love. When the dominion of sin is greater than our will, when we don't know what to do, it is the Holy Spirit, the God in us, come and help us, guide us, lead us, and give us tools. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. We call it the fruit of the Spirit to protect us from sin virus. God shows his love through himself, the Holy Spirit. The law prevent, the love protect, a life prevailed. There is one condition. We need to allow God to inject this chaff into us. God has done the preparation. Jesus made clear to Nicodemus. Just as Moses lifted up the snake in the wilderness, so the Son of Man, Jesus, must be lifted up, that everyone who believes may have eternal life in him. May have eternal life in him. In other words, the vaccine is applied if we believe that God incarnated as a man in Jesus of Nazareth. He lived among us and experienced as human being. He died for us to defeat the power of sin. And he rose again from the death to give us this power against the sin through the Holy Spirit. Believe in this gospel, the good news. The vaccine is applied. Free of charge. Completely free. Can you believe it? And you receive the Holy Spirit and you are born again. You will have eternal life. Eternity living with the loving God. Eternity living with the loving God. That's called righteousness. We are right in front of God. This is the message Paul is trying to communicate with the Jews and Gentiles. Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. We have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Paul tells us, you are righteous for free. Not because you are good, because God loves you. Because Jesus died for you. Because you believe in the resurrection of Christ. You might ask, so what? What happens if I don't believe in Jesus Christ? Of course, there are many haven't been vaccinated by coronavirus vaccine. It is a big risk. It might cost their life. There are many people who are not followers of the Christ, what they call the Christians. But John's Gospel is clear. This is the verdict. Light, Jesus, has come into the world, but people love darkness instead of light because their deeds were evil. Whoever believes in him, Jesus, is not condemned, but whoever does not believe stand condemned already because they have not believed in the name of God's one and only Son. A loving relationship with God, having gift of eternal life, receiving the power of the Holy Spirit to against the sin, and loving your neighbor because you are loved. These are some of the benefits of being follower of the Christ. The condemnation is losing all. It is your God's given choice. It is free as well. Either you choose the free gift of salvation, Holy Spirit, eternal life, or enter the eternal death. This is the risk you take. And if you want to choose, please see us after the service. If you are the follower of the Christ for many years, or you're just born again, being righteous has to shape our life completely. How to make important decisions for our lives. How to spend our money and for whom. How to build relationships. How to use our skill ability at work and at home. How do we ask the Holy Spirit to guide us, help us, deliver us? As a church, especially Church of England, we sometimes struggle to identify righteous. Who does God protect? Slave person? A bishop who allow a building to be sold to become a temple? A divorced person? A couple have had sex before the marriage and had children? And recently debate in the Church of England about the same-sex marriage. All highlight that being righteous by God has a wider implication than we think. Archbishop Welby recently, in a debate about the same-sex marriage in the General Synod, said, "We constantly face this temptation to make something of ourselves or to seek to impose our own unity through rules, hierarchy, and structures, which become a way of controlling others. The church is not called to avoid or to endorse mockery, but to be awake to the Holy Spirit to show that no division is greater than the unity of our identity in Christ." We are Anglican. We have a diverse church. We have people worldwide from different nationalities, different backgrounds, and different walk of the life. It is our strength and our weakness. But let me finish my sermon by reading this huge and famous verse, which we sang at the beginning of the service as well. This verse inspired many people throughout Christian history, and I hope and pray it inspires again. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life." Amen.